Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor at the United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. You're always welcome at our Sunday services. Worship at Salem is at 8:30. Sunday school in California is at 9:30 with donuts, coffee, and juice available in the gym, followed by worship at 10:30. We have a nursery for your children. It would give us great joy to have you be part of our Sunday service as we worship together as one family serving Christ. We start a new sermon series this Sunday that will look at the Lord's Prayer found in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13, and in Luke 11, verses 1 through 4. This morning we will concentrate on verses 9 and 10 in Matthew 6. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The first part of this famous prayer focuses on God himself, his majesty, and his priorities. That is a hint for us to start our prayers not on ourselves and our needs, but on God himself. We look forward to seeing you this Sunday. May God bless you this week with his power and love. To God be glory both now and forever. Thank you for listening.
Now is the moment of grace. This is the hour of blessing.
Today is the day of salvation. Here is the path to new life.
Already joy is abounding and love is flowing, for this is the day God is making.
Let us rejoice.
Children's time is led by Kendra Hall.
Good morning. I feel like I haven't seen some of you in a while. Can you believe we're going to have to go to school every day this week, probably? Well, who here drinks milk? When you drink milk, have you ever gotten one of those milk mustaches? I know some of you have because I see you at lunch with them. Do you remember seeing posters or commercials on TV that said, got milk? And they had like a famous athlete or an actor or actress with a big white mustache. Yeah, that was a pretty good advertisement because it was very short and it was something that was memorable. Well, what if we changed that? Instead of saying got milk, we said got Jesus. You think that would be something that could stick in our heads? Yeah. Well, I'm not going to advertise for milk, but I am going to advertise for Jesus. So we're going to change that to got Jesus. Do you know what that means? It means, do you have Jesus in your heart? Do you ask God for help every day? Yeah, hopefully. Well, I'm using one of these orange Bibles that Mike was just talking about, and I'm going to read 1 John 5:12, and it says, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. That's pretty simple, isn't it? If you got Jesus, you got life. If you don't have Jesus, you don't. And that's not talking about life here on earth, is it? It's talking about life where? Life in heaven, right? If we have Jesus in our hearts, then someday we're going to have eternal life in heaven. So just like the advertisement got milk, keep that got Jesus in your head. And every day we should be showing Jesus' love and working towards doing God's will. One way to do that is by reading these Bibles. Yeah, or even... this is the exact one that Mike was talking about that you probably got last spring. And I bet they'll probably come back, or you can always ask Mike, or you can even ask Mrs. Hall, because my dad is a Gideon just like Mike is. So I can even get a hold of one for you, and you could pass it out to your friends, or you probably have some of these laying around your house already. But we can invite our friends to come to Rock. We can invite our friends to come to church, Bible school, things like that. Those are ways that we can share our got Jesus with everybody around us. So let's pray. Dear God, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for us. Help us to invite Jesus into our hearts and encourage us to read our Bible. Thank you for the godly people like the Gideons who share your word with people all over the world. But most of all, thank you for our eternal life that will be in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our scriptures are read by Carla Clennon. They're followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon, First Steps, Know Where You Are Going.
Our first lesson today comes from John chapter 20, verses 26 through 31. 8 days later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. The door was shut, and Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand and place it in my side. Do not be faithless, but believing." Thomas answered him, "My Lord, my God." Jesus said unto him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Here ends our first reading. Our second reading comes from Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. The revelation of God, Jesus Christ, which God gave him, showed his servants, and must soon take place. And he made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore the witness of the Lord God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to that he saw. Blessed is he who reads aloud the words of the prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written therein, for time is near. John to the seven churches that are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithfulness witness and the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings to earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sin by his blood and has made us a kingdom of priests to the God our Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, everyone who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will wail on account in him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, Almighty.
We're going to be in 1 John chapter 5. We're going to finish up our series, First Steps, on the letter of 1 John. And so if you want to turn to 1 John and hold that in readiness, that's where we're going to be today. A famous Chinese proverb says, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. I kind of thought that was attributed to Confucius, but it's another Chinese philosopher. And you have a single step of where you plan to go. Any journey, it takes one step to get going to where you're going. But you need instructions. You know, there's all kinds of ways to get instructions to where you're going. Used to be an atlas. Ella and Emily, I just want to let you see these things. They're called atlases. These are maps. Instead of your phone, this is how we used to get around. These big cumbersome things that we would use. We may put them in the Montauk County Historical Society. Just make sure people don't forget. But I did use this not too many years ago. But I did find them in the closet because we haven't used them recently. Monday, I was at the Pleasant Grove Cemetery up just east of Prairie Home during the snow we had. I was a pallbearer for Nadine Hickam's funeral, and part of being a pallbearer, you got to go to the graveside, and that snow came, and that was a big surprise. But we inched our way, all the way down 87. It only had one lane cleared. We got to 179. It had not been touched. And when you get to 179, I'm thinking only one thought, Splice Creek Hill. All right, that's what I'm thinking as I'm driving over there. We inched our way down, and then you're thinking, how in the world am I going to get up the other side of Splice Creek Hill? But we made it, got all the way out to the cemetery Only a few of us made it. A lot of people turned back at Jamestown and went to their homes, but we made it out there. But I was scared to go back the way I came. And I was going to get back out on EE and go into Prairie Home and come out that way. And one of the people there said, no, 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 no. Just get on the first gravel road, do a little doodly-doo to your left, take a right, and then hit Splice Creek Road, gravel road, and you'll be fine. Well, I don't really know what a doodly-doo is. And so John Clay was there, and Barry Eschenbrenner was there, and they said, hey, we know the way. Just follow us. And so I followed them. They got to where the turn was at. They stopped their truck. You know, Barry was waving his hand. He was pointing. This is it right here. And they followed me all the way down the Splice Creek Road out to 87. And, you know, I made it home safely. But I had some help there. But, you know, you can follow signs. You can use your GPS and listen to them tell you where to turn. It's a little scary these days. My dad has his turned to his Bluetooth, you know, in his ear. I can't hear it anymore. And so, you know, that's kind of disconcerting sometimes when I don't know if I'm really trusting the way he's going, but he's trusting the sound of what's in his ear. You know, you can look them up on the internet, print them out. You can write them down or just look them up on your phone, as I found out a couple weeks ago. We were driving Amy down to Springfield, and we were in two vehicles. Betty and Amy were in the U-Haul in front of us. Kelly and I were in the Scape. And as we got closer to Springfield, I texted Amy to see which exit we needed to take to get to her apartment. And I'm going to read to you how she responded to her dad, all right? This was my text. What exit do we take? Do you want to lead the way when we get to Springfield? I thought it was very nice and very polite. This is the response I got. Put it in your phone, weirdo, with the address. I really don't think that was an appropriate response to her father, let alone a man of the cloth. But regardless, I put it in my phone, or my daughter Kelly did, put it in my phone and told us where we were going. You know, I used it this past Sunday to get to a family's house in South Columbia to visit with them a little bit. But I hope that you've read 1 John chapter 5 this last month. I hope you've read it several times. Because John wrote this book for one reason. It's in verse 13. And we're going to read that this morning. He says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. We read verses just a second ago from the Gospel of John. He says, I wrote the Gospel of John so that you would believe. I wrote all these things down so that you would believe. Now he writes this letter to believers just like us. And he says, I want you to know that you have eternal life. I want you to know which way that you're going. This is a difficult passage, this verses 6 through 13. And I've read through them several times, and there's different translations or different interpretations. One interpretation is that the water and blood refers to the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. One of them says it refers to when Jesus was pierced in the side and that blood and water flowed. Well, the prominent interpretation, one we're going to look at today, is it deals with Jesus' baptism and Jesus' crucifixion. But how do we know that we're headed in the right direction? In John 14, Thomas wanted to know which way to go. Jesus had told his disciples in the first four verses, he says, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. John is writing 1 John to make sure we know that we have eternal life, to make sure that we know where we are going. Do you know where you're going? Just like Monday when Barry Eschenbrenner was waving his hand out the window and pointing me in the right direction, Jesus and John are doing the same thing here. They're saying, believe, obey, follow Jesus, live and walk like him, love like him, and you can have eternal life right now and for your eternity. But what will that eternal life be like? We talk about it a lot. John gives us a description. I love his letters. First one, gospel, believe. Second one, know. The third one, he tells us our destination. In Revelation 21, he says, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Think about it. God himself will wipe every one of your tears away with his own hand. He will touch your face and make sure you know where you are. No more sin, no more temptation, no more failure, no more death, no more grief, no more hurts. But how can we be sure to know the right way? Well, John gives us four witnesses. He gives us four testimonies. He gives us four different directions to the same place. He says, trust me with these four. This is how we can know that we're headed in the right way. The first one is there. Look at verses 6 through 8 of 1 John chapter 5. The first one is the water of Jesus' baptism. He says, this is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and the blood. We see that when Jesus was baptized, and it says that when he was praying, heaven opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in like bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven saying, you are my son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. We see there that the false teachers that were around were trying to say that, yeah, Jesus only became divine at his baptism, when that Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove, and when God spoke to him. But John started out his very first gospel. He says, in the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Jesus had always been divine, and his life is grounded in history. No doubt Jesus was real. Jesus identified with everybody around him by choosing to be baptized. He didn't need to be baptized, but he said he did it to fulfill all righteousness. This is when he decided to start his ministry at the age of 30, when his cousin John baptized him. John is saying, yep, he came by the water of baptism. His life story contains baptism, but there's more. In his gospel, John says that he did those things in the beginning. Now he's been baptized. Now he has his life of history that we can follow. These events bookend Jesus' ministry. The false teachers are trying to say that Jesus was only divine at a certain time and then only for a certain time after that. But he not only came by the water, look at the second part of those verses. He came by the water and the blood. He emphasizes again, not by water only, but by the blood. He came by the Jesus' blood from the cross. Why would that be a big deal? The false teachers were trying to tell the people there that Jesus didn't die as the Son of God, that right before he went to the cross, the Holy Spirit left him, and he was just another human being being crucified on the cross. And John confronts that right up to the, you know, right up in their faces. That can't be. He says, if you take away the blood of Jesus, you take away the forgiveness of sins. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. Jesus did not enter by the means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once and for all by his blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of heifers sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from the act that led to death so that we may serve the living God? Peter said it this way, for you know that it is not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you by your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Without the shedding of Jesus' blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. No debt has been paid. John couldn't let that stand. His death makes it possible for us to have a holy relationship with God. God sent his only son to die for us. The empty cross stands as a witness today that Jesus died once and for all for each one of us. And we remember that blood that was shed when we partake in communion. Jesus tells us, do this in remembrance of me. Paul told the Corinthians to remember his death and even proclaim it. So John is saying you can't have it that way. He not only came by his baptism to officially start his ministry, he also came by the blood, the sacrifice of himself on the cross. That's the second witness. But in good Jewish faith, you can't only have just two witnesses. You need to have a third one there. Look at the end of 7 and 8 in chapter 5. And he says, and it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that testify, that give their witness, that give the directions: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. John mentions the Spirit of truth. That's the third witness. He mentions it twice in his first John. He says, and this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. He says the same thing in 1 John chapter 4. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us the Spirit. You know, there's sometimes, even when I get directions, I start to question my directions. I don't know if I wrote them down right. I don't see anything familiar that I remember looking up on the internet. And I'm not quite sure. And sometimes that happens with us in our life. That's where the Spirit of truth steps in. That's what Paul says in Romans. He says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. When we do not know what to pray, the Spirit himself intercedes for us through our wordless groans. And he searches our hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people. When we are uncertain about which way to go with our lives, are uncertain about exactly what's going on, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. When we don't know what to even pray, he prays for us. He's our internal GPS system. We not only have the written record of Jesus' baptism and the start of his ministry, we also have his final act of love and grace on the cross. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of truth in the Gospel of John. He's there to remind us of the promises of God. And then the fourth and final witness is the final witness, the best witness. Look at verses 9 through 12. John writes, he said, we accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which he has given us about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony God has given. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. We see it all throughout Jesus' life. God steps in and tells people who Jesus is. At his baptism, it says heaven was tore open, and they heard God's voice to say, this is my Son right here. This is the one that I love. I am well pleased with his life. It says at the transfiguration, when Jesus showed up and Peter and James and John saw all of his glory, what did Peter want to do? Peter wanted to build him, Moses and Elijah, a shelter. He wanted them to hang around for a while. What did God say to him? He said, this is my Son. Listen to him. Pay attention to him. And when Jesus was getting ready for the cross, he says, Father, glorify your name. And then a voice from heaven came. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. Three times God makes his presence known to let everyone around Jesus know exactly who he is. He's my Son. I love him. And I'm well pleased with his life. It says that they saw heaven open. John started the first chapter of the first letter. He says, hey, I know him. I saw him. He says, I saw him crucified. I saw heaven open. I saw him, you know, speak to me from the cross when he told me to take care of his mother. I saw his blood run down his side to the ground. He says, I know he is the Christ. You know, we've seen maps. We've listened to internal GPS. Now God says, I wrote the map. I created the GPS. I created the maps on your phone. You know, I like to watch those crime shows, and I've told you that at different times. And when they show the trial, the different sides bring in their expert witnesses. They bring in their forensic experts, maybe their blood splatter experts, They're technology specialists. They can pinpoint your phone. They look at your credit card history, all these different things to try to sway the jury. John has saved his best witness to last. He says, God told all of us, Jesus is it. And what is God's testimony on behalf of his son? We read it in verses 11 and 12. Basically, he says, if you have the son, you have life. If you do not have the son of God, you don't have life. Pretty simple. He's the ultimate expert on eternal life, abundant life, as Jesus said in the Gospel of John. John says, I'll give you one more witness. You wanted two or three, I'll give you a fourth one. I'll save my best for last. He said, I provided a star and angels to announce his birth. I opened up heaven and spoke to say, here he comes. And when James and John saw him in all of his glory, God said, listen to him. And it's the same thing that we have before us today. We all have a choice to make. Do we believe it or not? That's why I wanted you to read 1 John several times this past month so that you know that you have eternal life. But many times people try to diminish the person of Jesus. They'll try to say, just like those false teachers, that, you know, he was a good teacher, but he really wasn't God's son. You know, you can't really rely on the scriptures. We have some special knowledge. We have more trust than, you know, more wisdom than what the writers of the New Testament have. When someone tries to tell me that Jesus isn't the only way to heaven, or that there are other ways or other people to believe in to get to heaven, I tell them to read 1 John. Read it several times and come back to me in a month. And let me see if there's any gray area there about who Jesus really is. Back in December, we talked about the themes of Advent. And one of those themes was peace. And we had a little saying, no peace, N-O, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. Then we said K-N-O-W, no Jesus, no peace. Today we changed it a little. No Jesus, no life. But if you know Jesus, you know life. John started with us wanting to know, and he ends up with the same way. Look at verse 20 as he ends his gospel. He says, we know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we know him, that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true by being in the Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. The question for each one of us is, do we individually, personally know Jesus? Have we followed his example of baptism? Have we come to the cross and accepted the forgiveness of our sins through the shedding of his blood? Have we confessed him as our Lord and Savior? But we have to answer those questions. Do we know where we're going, both here on earth and for eternity? Do you know if you have eternal life? If you can't answer those questions, we need to talk. We have several families and individuals considering placing their membership here and making the church their home. And that's always exciting. If you need help with those eternity questions or think about membership, please fill out one of our connection cards in front of you and drop those in the offering plate that goes through there so we can have those visits and so we can accomplish those great things for God. That's my prayer. That's John's purpose, that all of us know where we're going. Our hymn this morning is hymn number 368, Trust and Obey. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for letting us all gather together as one family. And I pray, Father, as we've read 1 John this month, that we know who Jesus is. And Father, that we know that we have eternal life because life only comes through your Son into our life, into our hearts, into our spirit. I pray, Father, that we take as proof his life Partake also, Father, the Spirit that lives inside of us, as well as the testimony of God that Jesus is his Son. Bless us, keep us safe, look after us today as we have our meeting and we have our lunch as one church family as we plan for the future. We ask this all in your name. Amen.